On today's show, Lynn Scarborough of Lindy Sports will join us for his weekly segment as he gives us his picks for the weekend, including Auburn at Texas A&M. We'll also get Lynn's thoughts on the first batch of college football playoff rankings, and we'll go around the conference as Tennessee concludes their internal investigation into the athletic program. Locked On SEC starts right now.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. It's great to have you guys along. Today's show is brought to you by McDonald's. Proudly serving communities since 1965, McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it. I'm Chris Gordy. Thanks for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On SEC is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube and at LockedOnSEC.com. Let's jump into it. Plenty to cover. Let's go around the conference.
Boots out to the right. Makes the handoff.
Around the conference.
And we start over in Knoxville as Tennessee has concluded its internal investigation into the athletic program, and the Vols announced they will not self-impose a bowl ban this year. So if the Vols are able to win two of their last four games, Josh Heupel's bunch will be headed to a bowl game. The Vols will self-impose some penalties they say are appropriate to their violations that occurred, but they decided a bowl ban wasn't necessary because many of the players involved in the alleged recruiting violations are no longer with the program. They're at other schools, and they're probably going to go to bowl games there. So won't do much there in the way of punishment. But Tennessee, they finish off this season with games against Kentucky and Georgia, and then they finish with South Alabama and Vanderbilt. So pretty good chance for two more wins in those last two. On SiriusXM Radio this week, Rick Neuheisel was asked about Dan Mullen's future at Florida. And Neuheisel said he knows Mullen well, and he thinks if Mullen gets a chance to jump at an NFL job this offseason, that he will take it. He said he thinks Dan Mullen is tired of his time at Florida and in college. Keep in mind, Mullen was rumored for potential NFL jobs last offseason. And if you want to consider, okay, this season not going well, what NFL team would be interested in him? Well, think about Cliff Kingsbury, who had a couple of down years at Texas Tech, finished with a losing record, I believe, his last year, and he still got an NFL job, and look what he's doing with the Arizona Cardinals. Speaking of Florida, Dan Mullen looks like he will go back to Emory Jones at quarterback this weekend. Anthony Richardson dealing with a concussion he suffered in the loss to Georgia last weekend. Emory Jones started the first seven games but racked up 9 interceptions to 10 touchdowns. Florida is expected to be favorites in their final four games of the season. That starts with this road trip this weekend at South Carolina. So a chance for Florida, they could finish off with a four-game win streak, and maybe things kind of settle down in Gainesville with Dan Mullen, but he'll have to finish strong for that to happen. For the Gamecocks, Shane Beamer still has not revealed his starting quarterback just yet. Zeb Noland and Jason Brown still battling it out for that starting gig. Over at Alabama, Nick Saban confirmed that linebacker Drew Sanders has been able to practice this week and has not had any issues or problems. We were expecting that earlier this week, but now looks like Sanders is good to go. We'll be back in action this Saturday against LSU. Sanders suffered a hand injury in the Ole Miss game. Now, Saban also gave an update on five-star freshman running back Kamar Wheaton, who has been sidelined. Saban said Wheaton is still rehabbing and said he is not on the field yet. It still has a ways to go, so Bama fans waiting to see what Wheaton has got. Over at LSU, well, bad news continues as Coach Ed Ogeron announced that star freshman D lineman Mason Smith is on crutches and is listed as questionable for the Alabama game tomorrow. Smith has 19 tackles and 4 sacks this season. Ogeron also confirmed that running back Trey Bradford, who transferred back to the program from Oklahoma this year, he will not play this week as he is recovering from a lingering hamstring injury. There was some thought Bradford would be a go this week. But some good news for LSU. It sounds like linebacker Micah Baskerville will be back this week after practicing on Thursday. So there's that. But LSU still heavy underdogs at Alabama this weekend. At Missouri, latest injury report has quarterback Connor Bazelak listed as questionable for this week's game against number 1 Georgia. Bazelak was injured last week in the game against Vandy. If he doesn't play, quarterback duties will fall to backups Brady Cook and Tyler Macon. No word on who would start if Bazelak cannot. Speaking of LSU, college football insider Bruce Feldman spoke on Fox Sports 1 this week about the head coaching opening. And Feldman said to keep an eye still on Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M. Feldman said, from what I'm hearing from people around LSU, is Woodward is not giving up easily on Fisher, and he feels like he may be able to pull him, even though A&M people keep telling him that's not happening. If Fisher stays in College Station, Feldman said Mel Tucker at Michigan State could be the guy in Baton Rouge. He said Tucker is a guy that's obviously had a terrific year, done a good job turning around Michigan State. He's a former LSU assistant, former Nick Saban assistant, and he's very well thought of by a lot of people inside LSU, some of their really influential people. But ultimately, this will be Scott Woodward, the athletic director's hire. Can Jimbo Fisher say no to him? We will see. Some good stuff from Bruce Feldman. And, of course, we'll see where all the rumors and everything leads LSU over these next couple weeks, as they're the only LSU or only head coaching opening right now in the SEC, but may not be the last before that's all said and done. Over at Auburn, the Tigers, they continue to prepare for their road trip to College Station, where they are 4-0 since the Aggies came into the conference. One thing to keep an eye on will be the line of scrimmage. Linebacker Colby Wooten said Harsin has been preaching all this week that they need to be more physical. Meanwhile, the offensive line, has, on the other side, they've done a really good job on their side of the ball this season, keeping Bo Nix upright. The Tigers are fourth nationally and having only allowed 8 sacks this season, including 4 games with no sacks allowed. Running back Tank Bigsby, he went over the century mark for the fourth time last Saturday with a season-high 140 yards rushing. Texas A&M, their linebacker Antonio Doyle Jr., he's reportedly on the move after tweeting out he's leaving the Aggies, expected to enter the transfer portal. He said it's been a dream to play for the Aggies, thank them for the opportunity. He spent 2 seasons there, played in all 18 games during that time, mostly on special teams. He was a 4-star recruit out of St. Louis. And lastly, Alabama basketball. They have already set records before the season even started. The program has sold a record number of season tickets this year, 6,700. That's from the Alabama Athletic Department. There's a lot of buzz surrounding the program. The Tide shocked the college basketball world by not only winning the SEC last year, but making a run to the Sweet 16, losing to UCLA in overtime. And there you have it. That is Around the Conference. Thank you guys again for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Coming up next, we're going to talk with our buddy Lynn Scarborough from Lindy Sports. That is next. Need to remind you guys about our friends over at McDonald's. Of course, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect. Place where classmates meet up for a study group. They know they're going to have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of McFlurries and French fries. Of course, win or lose, it's a place where teammates and competitors, the home team or away team, can come to recharge. And it's the place you always look forward to stopping at a long road trip to rest your legs and refuel. Everybody knows or somebody or has been to one where you've had a birthday party at McDonald's, stopped by after a big sporting event, whatever it is. Just about every SEC town has got a McDonald's right near campus. Head to your local McDonald's to refuel and reconnect. And just remember, as always, McDonald's, I'm loving it. Rolling along here, Locked On SEC, and always fun to catch up with our buddy Lynn Scarborough from Lindy Sports and talking all things SEC. Of course, the Georgia Bulldogs coming in number one in the college football playoff rankings, and Lynn Scarborough joins us now. Lynn, do you know that song, my friend?
That is glory, glory to old Georgia, but their main song is called Between the Hedges, and it goes like this. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's the official Georgia fight song. But they play that. Well, Auburn does exactly the same thing. Auburn's official fight song is War Eagle Fly Down the Field. But Auburn does what you just did, and it's glory, glory to Auburn, A-U-B-U-R-N. So both teams use that song when their band's marching down the field and all. It's not the fight song for either one of them.
Well, did not know that, Lynn, but thanks for bringing it as you always do. Let's jump right into it. First round of the college football playoff rankings, Georgia at number one, Alabama at number two. I know you've been critical leading up to this, but what did you make of the first round of rankings?
I wrote a column that I posted on Tuesday morning intentionally before this poll came out, because I anticipated what they were going to do. So what I did, and I wrote in there, I'm writing this on Monday night before it's done. Some of you will not read this poll. I did the pros and cons to try to make an objective discussion of which team should be there, anticipating that something this preposterous would be done. I didn't expect it to be as horribly bad as what they actually did. But it's a joke. And I actually said so on our radio network. It's ridiculous. We don't have enough time to go through. I kind of made my top six absurdities, and it won't cover everything, but in order of which I think are the most absurd ones, one is the fact that Oklahoma's at number nine. I mean, is at number eight at 9-0. They're the only team in the country that's won nine games. They are the only undefeated team in a Power Five conference. And they're number eight. Well, that's ridiculous. I think in the column that we're talking about, I think I had them second, but I may have had them third. But there is no argument that could put Oklahoma at number eight. There's no argument that could put Alabama at number two, other than they're Alabama and we like them and we need to help Saban look good. Alabama. Other than this, they lost to A&M, got a lot of course. I'll be in College Station Saturday, and for what it's worth, I'm taking A&M to beat Auburn. But Alabama lost to Texas A&M. The three games before that A&M had played, they lost to Mississippi State, they lost to Arkansas, and they beat Colorado at Colorado 10-7 by scoring late. The next week on that same field, Minnesota, which got beat at home by Bowling Green, by the way, beat Colorado 30-0. And Alabama had a double-digit lead and gave it away in the fourth quarter to a team that has two losses and almost lost to Colorado. And they're number two in the country. At 7-1, you've got an undefeated Michigan State from a Power Five conference behind them. You've got undefeated Oklahoma from a Power Five conference behind them, undefeated Wake Forest from a Power Five conference behind them, and Cincinnati, that also is getting screwed on this deal. All of those are behind Alabama. There can only be one reason that Alabama's there, and it has no validity or anything to do with football. All right, then you've got Michigan ahead of Oklahoma and Wake Forest. And that's not right. Cincinnati is getting screwed on this deal. If there's ever been a year when a group of five team could make a case for being there, then this is the year. They've won at Notre Dame. This committee has Notre Dame in the top 10, and Cincinnati went to Notre Dame and beat Notre Dame. So they've beaten the top 10 team. Michigan's beaten the top 10 team. Oregon has, Ohio State has, Michigan State has. Oklahoma hasn't. Alabama has. Alabama hadn't even played one. So you got that. And then almost absurd is the whole deal. They've got Mississippi State at number 17. What games are these people watching? The Mississippi State, they're 5-3. And you say, okay, well, maybe 5-3, they had close games against highly ranked teams. Well, they've played one highly ranked team. That's Alabama. They got beat 49-9. All right. They lost to LSU. That's already lost four games, is getting ready to lose its fifth game Saturday by a wide margin and fired its coach. And they lost to Memphis, that already has four losses. Those four losses are to Temple, Tulsa, Central Florida, and UTSA. And you could say, well, UTSA is a decent loss because they're 8-0. They're right there in your backyard almost in San Antonio. Very good team. Sincere McCormick, one of the best running backs in the country. And you could say, well, they did that because they lost to that highly respected UTSA team, which at 8-0 and the best team in a group of five conference is not even listed in this entire poll in the top 25. And I know I've probably just taken up the entire time, and I haven't told you every horrible thing about this poll, but I've told you the ones that make it ludicrous. This poll is embarrassing for the people that had anything to do with it. And if I had anything to do with it, I'd have snuck out the back door so nobody could see me. And it honestly, guys, it makes a joke out of – I mean, it's disrespectful to college football to do something like this. And Lindy's, we put out a top 25 every year in our preseason magazine, but it's for fun. People talk about it. It gets interest built up, and it doesn't cost anybody any money, and it doesn't cost anybody their jobs. However, this is about making millions of dollars for the school. Yeah. It's about making bonuses for head coaches. And let's just say, for example, in the first AP poll, let's say that you do it at the start of the season, and that one team is ranked second, and the other team is ranked, what was Mississippi State? And 17th. One team's ranked 17th, okay. So you start off, and one team's ranked second, and one team's ranked 17th. They're both 0-0. They haven't played a game yet. Well, you don't know yet if number two is really better than number 17. But let's say that number two and number 17 go through, and by 8 games in the season, they're both undefeated, okay? Number 17 is never going to have caught up with number two. And the reason they're not is because the people that set up the rankings chose to put number two in that position and number 17 in that position. Right here, what's somebody going to have to do to pass Alabama? They have arbitrarily stuck a team with a 7-1 record ahead of 3 undefeated conference championship teams. So what would it do? Let's say Oklahoma runs the table. Is that going to jump them ahead of Alabama? Michigan State runs the table. Is that going to jump them ahead? What's going to happen that's going to jump Alabama, that's going to move Alabama down to number 5, other than if Auburn beats them in the final game of the season?
We're talking with Lynn Scarborough of Lindy Sports. And, Lynn, Alabama, you mentioned Alabama there, always hands down one of the best teams in the country, talent-wise, but results on the field, of course, matter. It always becomes an argument with the playoff committee. Is it best team or most deserved team based on resume? If it's most talented or best team, Alabama's always going to be up there, right?
Well, they should always be the number one team every year. They should always be by having the number one class, but they're not. They win a lot of championships, but they don't win them all. And so – you can't arbitrarily assume. I'm going to assume that most people, when they saw Montana going to play Washington, they probably thought Montana was going to lose, but they didn't. When they thought that Jacksonville State went to play Florida State, they probably thought Florida State was going to win, but they didn't. And this poll, that's what I said in my column, this poll should be on what has actually happened. It shouldn't be on what you think might happen or what you think will probably happen or what could happen. It needs to be done on what happened. What teams have actually earned where they are, not are there because of who they are, or maybe somebody on that committee doesn't like Oklahoma. And I don't know. I don't know who the committee is made up of, and maybe there's no prejudice toward Oklahoma. But how can you justify Oklahoma at 9-0 being the best team in a Power 5 conference? How can you justify them being number 8? You know, how can you justify Mississippi State with that record getting a single vote for the top 25, much less being 17, and look at some of the teams they're ahead of? How can you justify a team that lost to A&M, with all due respect to A&M, who I think is going to beat Auburn Saturday? But how can you possibly justify that team being there over Michigan State, Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan? All those teams who have the same record, and every one of those teams has beaten a top 10 team. Alabama hadn't played one. I mean, so there's just no logic to this at all. Michigan's too high. Alabama's too high. Mississippi State shouldn't be ranked at all. Oklahoma's too low. Cincinnati's too low. Other than that, the poll's great.
Talking with Lynn Scarborough. Lynn, let's get into some of the games happening this weekend. The biggest game this Saturday afternoon on CBS, it's Auburn at Texas A&M. A lot of people are picking the Aggies in this one, but Bo Nix has played much better as of late, so has the defense. Does Auburn have any chance, in your mind, of pulling off the upset in this one?
Absolutely, Auburn's got a chance. The reason I'm picking A&M, quite frankly, is because they've never won
They've never beaten Auburn at all at Texas A&M. Going into this year, A&M had never beaten Alabama at College Station, had never beaten Auburn at College Station. It's the old blind squirrel theory. A&M, who in the three games before Alabama had bad games, and in the two games after that, you say, well, they've won the next two games. They beat South Carolina and Missouri. Their total number of wins is two in the conference, and that's because they both played Vanderbilt, and they both almost lost to Vanderbilt. So A&M in the last six games, just being realistic, A&M's had one good game against a good team in its last six ball games. And I think A&M is going to pull it off and win. A&M's a good team. They've got good players. And Alabama was not going to go to College Station forever and win every time. And Auburn is not coming to College Station and win every time. And I think this is a good A&M team. I think that those two losses they had earlier have been disappointing. We had A&M as a top 10 team, at the start of the year, and everybody, including Jimbo, said that he thought they had a team that could, knock off Alabama and contend for the championship. Well, they did knock off Alabama, but I don't think he foresaw them losing to Arkansas and Mississippi State and almost losing to Colorado. So I think A&M's a good team, and I feel like that they'll win the game. Sure, Auburn couldn't win. Auburn's a good team too. But I just feel like that Texas A&M is going to win the ball game, and I always enjoy coming to College Station. One of my favorite stadiums, absolutely my favorite college band. Now, what you ought to do is play that Aggie fight song, and people can just picture that meticulous marching A&M band that's just so precise, marching out there on the field in those military uniforms. It's a great experience. I'm kind of a quasi-A&M fan. It's a great experience to go to a Texas A&M football game.
All right, Lynn, just a couple minutes left. A few other games in the SEC. What do you think of Mississippi State at Arkansas?
Well, I like Arkansas to win. Looking at this new CFP poll, you wouldn't think so. But I like Arkansas to win the game. It's up at Arkansas. Arkansas has had several losses now after a great start. It would not surprise me to see Mississippi State win, but I'll pick Arkansas.
What about a game that used to be a good rivalry, LSU at Alabama?
I think Alabama's going to win it in a gigantic way. I just can't see any way that they don't. Alabama's a much better team. They've got it's played in Tuscaloosa, so they got the home field advantage there. I think Alabama's going to win the game probably by a very comfortable margin.
Lynn, always good to talk with you, my man. Thanks so much for the time.
Okay, guys. Talk to y'all soon.
All right, there he is, Lynn Scarborough of Lindy Sports. Always appreciate his time. When we return, we'll make our picks for all the games happening this weekend in the SEC. That is next. Always good to tell you guys about our friends at betonline.ag. They're back and better than ever. Look, we got a whole slate of SEC games happening tomorrow. You want to go check out the new interface, the new website over at betonline.ag. They've got you ready for the rest of the college football season. Of course, all the SEC games remaining. They got you set for the NFL games. And they got you set for the start of basketball season. College basketball just about to get underway. So you want to make sure you head over to their website. You can do so on your mobile device or your desktop, laptop, whatever. And if you've never signed up before, make sure you use their promo code or our promo code, LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, on their website. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. When you use our promo code LOCKEDON, you'll receive your bonus at betonline.ag. They've got you covered from football, basketball, NHL, boxing, UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Do not wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the rest of the season. BetOnline, they are the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Make sure you get in before tomorrow's slate of games. Also, always good to tell you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. Still, if you guys have not tried Built Bar yet, you are missing out. It is not your typical protein bar. In fact, it doesn't even taste like a protein bar. If you've ever had some of those from either the gym or, those smoothie stores, whatever, when you stop by and you get a protein bar, a lot of them don't even taste, tastes like you're eating chalk, tastes like you're eating wax, whatever. These taste like basically a candy bar. Built bars are low in carb, low in sugar, low in fat, low in calories, but high in protein. So all the healthy benefits on top of just being purely delicious. And of course, they've got a million different flavors from the coconut almond to the salted caramel, the double chocolate, the mint brownie, my favorite. You can try them all with a mix box over at Built.com. And this month, Built Bar is coming out with a new limited flavor every 3 to 4 days. Check their website. You don't want to miss out. Go to Built.com. Use our promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off over at Built.com. All right, final segment here on Locked On SEC. Let's jump right into it. We got a full slate of games we got to run through this week. Last week it was just four. Now we've got a full slate of games. So let's jump into it. Missouri at number one, Georgia, 12 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. This line was at 38 earlier in the week. It's moved up to Georgia minus 39. It's unbelievable how this number got bigger. We know Connor Bazelak is listed as questionable. The question is, as bad as Missouri's defense is and has been this year, how many points do you think Georgia's going to score? That's the bulk of the argument. I could easily see Georgia winning this game 41-0. But if you think Tyler Beatty can break off a run or two, do something that what only Tank Bigsby's done this year, find the end zone with the ground game on Georgia's defense, Georgia's not giving up more than, what's the most Missouri could get, 14? So if you think Georgia's going to score 35, 42, 50, then you take them plus those points. In my mind, it's a lot of points. I might be the one sweating it out. I'm going to take Missouri plus the 39. It's a lot of points. I love Tyler Beatty, man. I think he's going to be able to break off one or two runs on Georgia. Maybe wear him down second half. Probably nothing in the first half. Missouri may have a big zero on the scoreboard at halftime. But I'm banking on backups coming into the game and Missouri scoring a touchdown or two late to get the backdoor cover. Liberty is at number 15, Ole Miss, 11 a.m. Central on the SEC Network. This one moved a little bit. It was 10. Now it's Missouri or Ole Miss minus 9.5. So what does that mean? You like Liberty to cover 10? So take Liberty plus the 9.5. Ole Miss wins by a touchdown. I don't know. I think this is not the two high-flying, high-tempo offenses that we've become accustomed to. Liberty's a little bit different this year with Malik Willis at quarterback, not like they were a year ago. Ole Miss also slowed down. We know Lane wants to win Matt Corral the Heisman, but, man, they're banged up. Offensive line's banged up. Matt Corral himself is banged up. I think Ole Miss covers the points, but I think this one is a little bit of a low-scoring game. I don't know what the over-under is over at BetOnline, but I may lean towards the under because I don't think this is going to be that 45-42 game that some people were thinking. Give me Ole Miss minus the 9.5 on Liberty. The big one, number 12, Auburn, is at number 13, Texas A&M. You know the history of this rivalry. The away team seemingly always winning the game, but Texas A&M is a 4.5 home favorite over Auburn. That's kind of where the line opened. That's kind of where it stays. Man, if I'm going with my head, I'm taking the Aggies at home minus the 4.5 to keep this thing rolling. If I'm going with maybe rooting interest or whatever, just the Bo Nix redemption story, man, it would be such a good story for Bo to go into College Station and get the victory over Texas A&M. And Auburn will find themselves in the top 10 next week. Derek Mason doing a good job with the defense. Mike Bobo doing a good job with the offense. On the other side, Mike Elko has done a really good job with this A&M defense, and they are loaded up front with DeMarvin Leal, Damani Richardson, the secondary. And I love the ground and pound from the Aggies with Devon Achane and Isaiah Spiller. So if I had to pick one, I'm going to go with A&M. But, man, it would be a great story if Bo Nix and Auburn could go in there and get the win. So go with your heart, whatever you're feeling. I'll take the Aggies minus the 4.5. Mississippi State is at Arkansas. Arkansas minus 4.5. This one opened at 5.5. So that tells you some money's coming in on Mississippi State. Some people kind of impressed with what Will Rogers and company did last week against Kentucky. Held the Kentucky offense in check. Held the ground game in check. Got a bunch of turnovers on Will Levis. Can they keep the Arkansas run game in check? This will be 3 p.m. Central on the SEC Network. I'm going to ride with Mississippi State Mike Leach. They have surprised me to this point. Will Rogers. I'll take them. I'll take them plus the 4.5 on the road. Maybe they win by a field goal late. Certainly, be a disappointing loss for the Razorbacks at home. But give me Mississippi State on the road at Arkansas. Into the night games, LSU is at number 3, Alabama, 6 p.m. Central on ESPN. This line did move. It was Bama minus 28. It's now Bama minus 28.5. So that little extra half gives you maybe some interest on LSU to only lose by 28, and you still win your bet. Look, I think Bama can just name their number in this one. If they want to embarrass LSU, they can do it. Tigers, injuries everywhere, a lame duck coach and Coach O, Max Johnson, mixed bag as of late at the quarterback spot. He does not have his best weapon in Kayshon Boutte. And LSU's inability to run the ball. You think you're just going to go into Alabama, into Tuscaloosa, a hostile environment, and suddenly be able to run the ball again? I don't see it. I think Bama wins big, something like 45-13. It'll be disappointing for LSU. Tennessee is at number 18, Kentucky. That's at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. How about this one? Kentucky opened earlier this week as a 3-point home favorite, and the line has now moved to Tennessee minus 1. The Vols are a 1-point favorite in Lexington. I guess some people may be overreacting to Kentucky's loss last week to Mississippi State. But give me the home team. Give me Kentucky at home. I think they get it done. And it's not to take anything away from Josh Heupel and his quarterback Hendon Hooker, but Tennessee, we know how good they start games this year. They've scored a ton of points early in the first quarter and in the first half. I don't know if that happens this week in Lexington. It's going to be, like I said, cold. Environment will, or the house will be rocking in Kentucky. So give me Kentucky plus the 1 at home. And lastly, Florida is at South Carolina. This will be 7:30 Eastern on the SEC Network. Florida was a 19-point favorite. They're now just an 18-point favorite on the road at South Carolina. We know Anthony Richardson dealing with the concussion. Emory Jones probably going to get the start. The Dan Mullen Redemption Tour has got to finish strong. I believe in these last four games, they are going to be double-digit favorites on all four of these. Have to go take care of business. I think Shane Beamer's bunch is scrappy. I think the defense is a little bit better than maybe we give them credit for, and better than what the stats say. I think maybe Beamer's club can keep it close at half, but I think Florida pulls away in the second half. Florida's got to get back to their running game. They've kind of gotten away from that in recent weeks. Run the ball efficiently, get out of there with 150, 200 rushing yards, and get the victory over South Carolina. But 18 points seems like a lot. I think Florida maybe pulls away late and covers that 18. If you like the Gamecocks, take the 18 there. But there you go. Those are our picks for this weekend. That is just about going to do it for this edition of Locked On SEC. My thanks to Lynn Scarborough of Lindy Sports for joining us. And thank you guys for making us your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen. Go check out some of our other great podcasts along the Locked On Podcast Network. We got Locked On LSU, Locked On Auburn, Locked On Vols, Locked On Gators, just about any school you can think of. Go search for them, and you'll find them wherever you find your podcast. I'm Chris Gordy. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Full reaction to the weekend. We'll give you our winners and losers of the weekend. Talk to you guys then.